Remember grade 13? Yeah, yeah. It was a thing in Ontario until the late 80s or so. Now, I crammed my final year into one semester and went backpacking in Europe for 6 months. It was the best thing I had ever, ever, ever done. Now, it wasn't quite a gap year, but it was close. And a lot of people, they just sort of need a reset before they move on to their next thing, which I love. I think it's a great idea, but the idea ain't free. So how do you go about funding that freedom? Michelle Dittmer is the co-founder and president of the Canadian Gap Year Association. She's here with some tips and resources for funding a gap year. Hello there.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
There's an association for this?
There sure
is. What does CanGap do?
So our role is to be a hub for resources for people to take this unconventional pathway. It's something that is gaining steam in North America. It's been done for decades and decades in the UK and in Australia. And now we're seeing more and more young people asking about this pathway or needing this pathway. And so we need to give people some traction when the other pathways are so strong.
So who do you think of as your audience? Is it the students or is it their petrified parents?
It's a mixed bag, really. Some of the parents are really concerned for their young people and making sure that they're making smooth transitions or successful transitions. And sometimes that includes a gap year.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the young people themselves saying, listen, I'm burnt out. I need a break, or I really want to explore the world and I'm not ready to make that step into post-secondary.
Now, you're structured as a nonprofit.
We are nonprofit.
One of your services are Skype consultations. What's the purpose of those?
So the purpose of that is, again, to take away some of the myths that are out there about gap years, that you are not going to be disadvantaged, and help put your mind at ease. When people say, what can I do on a gap year? And the answer is you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
That's really overwhelming. So how do we narrow down and put some of the focus into the areas that this young person could explore and could grow in that gap year and weed out some of the
I love
programs.
How I hear that phrase as a parent, you can do anything you want. When Abby does her gap year, if she chooses to do one, I will be fine with 98% of the things. Here's the 2% of the things I will not be fine with: hanging out in our basement. That does not count as a gap year. So what would be some examples of things that people do that are really exciting and ones that would resonate with parents versus ones that wouldn't resonate with parents? Not that that necessarily matters if the kid can fund it themselves.
Yeah, it depends on what the goals of the individual person are, because people take gap years for all sorts of reasons. So folks are taking it maybe because they aren't in a financial position to move directly into post-secondary, so they take the year to earn money.
Yeah.
Other people are looking to go on an adventure. So there's opportunities to learn Spanish, learn how to surf, and save the sea turtles in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. There's opportunities for internships or even picking up hobbies that have been put on the back burner because you've been so busy getting those 95 pluses in your grade 12 year. So it really depends on what the individual goals are.
This is an impossible question. How much does a gap year cost?
Again, you could earn money on your gap year if you structure it appropriately.
Right.
Or you could empty your bank account realistically. There are programs out there that are tens of thousands of dollars, and there are programs out there that are free, or you can earn money. We suggest if you're creating a budget to look at it as a year of education. So what would you spend on a year of post-secondary education? And that's a good framework for what your young person's going to do. They're going
to grow. Which is like 20 to 25 grand.
If you're going to include all of your residence fees and your books and all of those pieces in there as well. Yeah.
So what tips would you have for students and parents on how to fund that? Because I wouldn't want Abby to return home with a massive debt from that expenditure or from that adventure. I'd want her to, you know, make sure that it was funded and she could come and then start whatever next chapter she had.
Yeah, great question. If you know well in advance that you're going to be taking it, you can start slowly putting away savings the way you would for your education or for your retirement. So that's one way you can do it. But there's lots of other resources out there as well. So obviously you can work on your gap year. A lot of the Canadian students that we work with, they'll actually spend the first half of their year working in terms of just getting a job locally and then using that money.
I did a swap visa. Do those still exist?
Yeah. So International Experience Canada has just rebranded or has a new vision for what they're doing. And they're really pushing the idea of working abroad. So there are work travel visas where you can get a visa and head out and work in another country. So you're getting that international experience while earning some money.
My mistake was that I worked in a boring office in London, England. I totally should have worked in a pub.
Yes,
that
pubs, coffee better. Shops are really exciting places to work. We've had gappers work in funeral homes.
okay.
You name it. It's out there. Lots of people doing what's called woofing, which is it's working on organic farms. So you basically exchange your labor during the week for free room and board, and then you have your weekends and some vacation time to go and explore. So you're basically coming out neutral.
Any other resources on the funding front that I might not have thought of?
There's tons out there. I just have a little list here. Financial assistance, if you're going to sign up with a formal program, so instead of going backpacking, there's lots of gap year programs that are out there, and over 70% of them have financial assistance. And most of them go unused because people aren't applying for the scholarships.
Really? What would that
grants.
Be? Would it be like a Blythe Academy or something like that, a travel company?
So there are a whole bunch of different styles of gap year programs. Often they're about 3 months in length, and they'll travel to multiple countries. So it'll be a cohort of young people that travel together, maybe through India, Nepal, and then off to Thailand, doing local volunteering or working with various locals, living the life and doing some leadership development along the way.
What are the benefits that you would say to a parent who was like, I'm not sure that this is the best use of my child's time or money? You're preaching to the choir here, but to someone else, what would you tell them is the rationale here that makes this a great use of time and money?
I think it's the successful transition. So when we're working with students, half of the students that we're working with come straight out of high school. The other half are coming after an unsuccessful first year of post-secondary. So that's a huge piece because the people who come to us straight out of high school are coming and they're excited about taking a gap year. Those that come to us after a failed first year are coming at a deficit. So they're actually just building themselves back up. The other bonus is when you take a gap year, if you actually look at the statistics coming out of our association south of the border, they actually finish school in fewer years with higher GPAs. They're more engaged in their school because they're making that active choice to re-engage with school after they're done, instead of just being on this conveyor belt of education that we just kind of truck along in and you're just meant to be there because that's what's expected of you.
How are gap years perceived by colleges and universities? Are they seen as a good reset, or are they seen as this is a kid who's indecisive? They're not clear on what they want.
It's shifting. It used to be that the post-secondaries didn't know what to make of these kids. And now what we're seeing is when we present at fairs for post-secondary institutions, they're asking us, how can we find these kids? Because we know that they're coming after having some life experience, and they're engaging with their school in a different way than people coming directly or making that direct transition right out of high school. They're starting to put together scholarships. A lot of schools will have formal deferral policies. So you can apply and get accepted and say, listen, I don't want to come this September. I want to come next September. And they'll say, great, have a great year, and we'll see you in a year. So we're seeing a big shift in the pendulum now that this experiential learning is such a huge push, and we know that the value that comes from that.
You talked about the U.S. Association. Mm-hmm. Is there data that they have that build this case out, that if you had $1 billion to get the same data yourself, you would replicate?
Yes. We're in discussions with a bunch of people to get some funding to get those happening in Canada.
Is there anything on the U.S. front that would correlate gap years to income or future education, or what are some of the tantalizing data points?
Yeah, there's actually a Canadian study that was done with data that's about 20 years old now, and the highest rate of employment and the highest salary 3 years after graduation was a combination of a gap year and a university education.
Interesting. That certainly is not well known.
No.
Really exciting. Okay, let me ask, if you could turn back time and do a gap year yourself, how would you spend it?
How would I spend it? That's a great question. 17-year-old me would probably be a little bit scared, but probably do a little bit of a group travel to begin with, and then do some independent backpacking.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we could just go back to that time. No, it's too late. I couldn't sleep in a hostel anymore, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Not even
but you can take a sabbatical now.
I can, but I'd still have to be in a private room, I think. Yeah. I think I've passed my backpacking days. I need more than one t-shirt.
Yeah.
Michelle, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for having us.
Michelle Dittmer is the co-founder and president of the Canadian Gap Year Association. Attention all students, attention all parents. You should really do this.